20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Remember, you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And, of course, you can check us out over at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew Mertig. What's going on, Andrew? It is another glorious edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast on a Friday.
Yes, it is great to be back. I'm excited. I hope you're excited because we have a really great show for you today. Last year, we did a listener mock draft, and it was one of the most fun episodes that we did during the entire year. This time around, we added in trades, which, Kyle, I got to be honest with you, this made me really nervous. Yeah, within a few minutes of creating the group message, people were talking about four-team deals, and my head was swimming. I'm like, how am I going to track this? I don't know, but it all ended up being fine. We had to talk some people down a little bit, I think, but there are some really fun trades, some really creative picks, and honestly, it is a blast to interact with our listeners and to hear their passion about the draft. So I am really, really amped up to talk about these picks, and I'm gonna cover the first pick, right?
Wait, don't.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Thank you.
There you go, you're welcome, there you go.
Let's not do that 32 times today. So I have, I'm covering the Jacksonville Jaguars first overall pick, which is made by at Matt Trombone. Matt, who's going to come up here a few different times in this mock draft, and I'll explain why after his second pick. But he's going to go ahead and take quarterback Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, which is the obvious pick to me. But some people want to make this situation really complicated. For me, it's a great job by Matt to just sprint to the podium, get the best quarterback prospect that I've seen since Peyton Manning.
That's good, and I'm glad that he gets a little bit more to do later in the mock draft, because that would be kind of a boring run at this for him if that's all he got to do was run him that number one overall pick. It is kind of a no-brainer, but the Jets are up at number two overall, and Joseph Lights has this selection here, and he takes Justin Fields from Ohio State. And I feel like things have almost gotten to the point where it's assumed that Zach Wilson is going to be the pick here for the Jets. And so it's fun to see a different scenario, especially because just a couple months ago, it felt like Justin Fields was the lock at number two, or at least he was kind of the lock at this consensus number two quarterback spot. So I like the change of pace here with Fields at number two, and I'm excited to see how it shakes things up as we move further into this draft.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. I, of course, have Justin Fields as my number two quarterback. It doesn't mean that he's going to go number two. I think a lot of teams, you know, really, really love Zach Wilson. But I think in this case, it makes a ton of sense. And certainly there's going to be some teams that have Fields as the preference over Wilson. So we move on to number three, which would be the Dolphins, courtesy of the Houston Texans. That trade looks worse and worse and worse and worse for the real life Houston Texans. And we have Sam Walker at SS Walker 1986, who is going to stick and pick wide receiver Jamar Chase from LSU. So I think everybody assumes the Dolphins are going to trade down, but what if there's no market for it? For instance, the Lions were really eager to trade down from number three last year, but then nobody was willing to meet their price. So maybe the quarterbacks aren't as hot as we are perceiving. No one would have imagined that Tua or Justin Herbert would have slid and nobody was willing to trade up for them last year. So if the market isn't there, you just take the best wide receiver because that's what Miami needs. And while I like Jamar Chase a lot, I don't know if he fits in perfectly with Tua as well as somebody like Jalen Waddle would. But the counter to that is being opposite Will Fuller, you get a really diverse skill set and somebody who could be a foundational piece for Miami for years to come. So, yeah, Jamar Chase, Miami, pretty good pick.
Yeah, moving on to number four here with the Falcons. I have probably the best Twitter handle in this whole show. So I've got at JHG 7468 2249. So Mr. JHG here making the pick. And we've got Penei Sewell from Oregon as the tackle going to the Falcons at number 4 overall. And I'm not going to lie, I really thought this was going to be where Zach Wilson landed. But the slide does continue for him. And the Falcons get the top tackle in the class. And I know a lot of people would say, well, Atlanta has spent way too much draft capital on the offensive line to do it again here. But the reality is that the NFL is starved for young offensive line talent. So when you have a chance at someone like Sewell, and maybe you think that Matt Ryan is going to be there a little bit longer than maybe some in the national media would assume, you go ahead and take that shot with someone like Sewell. And I think the Falcons would probably just try to bump Caleb McGarry inside to guard in this situation. I don't know that that's an incredible plan, but I think that's probably what they would try if they tried to slip Sewell in here and have a pretty amazing duo of tackles there in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, you know, if Atlanta is moving forward thinking that Matt Ryan is going to be around for another 3 or 4 years and they don't want to pick a quarterback high and they go ahead and take Penei Sewell, I think that's good for your offense. But the Bengals, who are picking at number 5, are sitting around like, what the heck? Penei Sewell was supposed to be here.
Right.
So what do? You trade down. And that's exactly what happened here. So the San Francisco 49ers got real aggressive and traded number 12, their 4th-round pick and 5th-round pick this year, and then the number 1 pick in 2022 to the Bengals for this number 5 selection. So the 49ers jump up, and their GM is at Jude T5 Green. We're going to butcher
it's going to be good.
Twitter handles yeah. during this show. But my reaction was, boo this man, because he traded up and then went ahead and got Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU. So you give the 49ers their quarterback of the future. I'm going to have an issue with this. And you basically throw in picks and just one future one to move up from 12 to 5. This seems like a great deal for San Francisco. And Wilson is definitely a fun projection. I don't like him as much as most. You know, I said I definitely have Justin Fields significantly higher him. And one of the issues is Zach Wilson's shoulder injury history scares me a bit. But he can definitely be a game manager in San Francisco, and he'll be successful with the weapons around him and being able to make plays with his legs. If he figures out the deep game, watch out. And this is somebody, you know, Kyle Shanahan is going to want to develop over the next few years. So he can be good in the short term, could be good in the long term. I don't mind the Bengals trading down when Sewell is gone. In fact, I think that's the best move for them. But jumping all the way down to 12 should probably have gotten them a little bit more in the trade than what they actually got.
Yeah, super interesting. Like you said, where it's a bummer to see San Francisco getting what could be, you know, a franchise-style quarterback there for them. Interesting, Steve Young is a former BYU quarterback as well, wasn't he? So that's a continuation of that BYU tradition there for San Francisco as well. So interesting move, aggressive move, and it was a lot of fun to start the draft off this way as well. But we've got a trade on our hands at number 6. The Panthers are on the clock after a trade with the Eagles. Matt Pickett is in charge of this Eagles team. The Panthers, rather. Sorry. And basically, the Panthers gave up just their 3rd-round selection to jump up these 2 spots here. So the Panthers are on the clock. The Eagles slide all the way down, just 2 spots there to 8. And Carolina gets quarterback Trey Lance. I think this pick makes a ton of sense, and I love this for what Carolina seems like they want to do. The Panthers know that they have a lot of pieces in place, but they are a quarterback away from, I think, being able to compete. And so I like the pick. I like the value. Only having to give up that 3rd-round pick is great. You get your franchise quarterback, and you don't have to give up future first, which is kind of a tradition if you want to get aggressive. So I think there's a lot to like about all the quarterbacks in this class. But if in 3 years we're looking back and Trey Lance is the best of the bunch, I don't think a lot of people are shocked. He's got all the tools and just needs the time. So like the move for the Panthers to come up and get the quarterback of the future there.
Yeah, and that's a really fun projection. I think Trey Lance would fit in really well in Carolina and have a year or two to sit with a pretty solid offense around him and then that opportunity to develop. Matt Pickett ended up being the GM for both the Jaguars and Panthers, who, interestingly enough, both came into the league in the same year in the 90s. But that was totally my fault. I screwed up when I was setting aside the list. So we had one extra GM. I'll talk about that later as we get further down into the draft. But then I am going to talk about the Lions pick at number 7. And at Stilly Ryan is their GM. His name is Doomy McSludge, which I can only hope is his real life name.
Please tell us. Best name tweet at us and tell us that.
But he's going to take wide receiver Devontae Smith from Alabama, a stick and pick for the Lions, who need to basically replace their entire wide receiver room with Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones both out the door. Smith makes a ton of sense. Goff had success with Cooper Kupp, and Smith is simply a better version of Kupp. And personally, you give me Jalen Waddle every day of the week over Smith, but I like the fit for Detroit. Not sure that you would describe Devontae Smith as a kneecap biter, though.
I mean, that seems to be an important piece for their organization. I was just looking because you said they have to rebuild their entire wide receiver room. And I think Geronimo Allison might still be a Detroit Lion. So let's not get too crazy. They might have somebody there who could catch
them. They have Geronimo and Quintez Cephas, and I think that might be it.
That might be it. So, yeah, you probably are great here. Yeah, probably a good pick in Devonta Smith. So let's move to number 8 here. And now those Eagles are back on the clock. And Steve Hellmeyer here is in charge as the GM. And he takes wide receiver Jalen Waddle of Alabama. And so I said, yeah, I get a little hand clap in. I said I like the value for the Panthers only having to give up a third, but I also really like the value for the Eagles getting that extra third round pick and only having to slide back 2 spots. That's pretty good. And they're still in really a great position here to grab the receiver that they need. They do that in Jalen Waddle. It's going to be interesting to see what the offense looks like for the Eagles this year. But Steve is stacking speed on speed here with Waddle, now paired with Jalen Reagor, who they took last year out of TCU. And I do like that. I think it's a scary combo that you feel pretty good about. I would have liked it a little bit better if they would have been able to pair him with someone like Jamar Chase, get a true X receiver to pair with someone like Reagor. But obviously Chase is off the board, and I don't think anyone's going to be calling Jalen Waddle a consolation prize. So I think you feel pretty good about what the Eagles were able to do at number 8.
Love me some Jalen Waddle, obviously. So we're moving on to pick 9, and we have a very aggressive trade going on here. So
let's do it.
One of the things that I should explain to listeners is when we do this activity, Kyle and I take the Bears and the Vikings so that nobody has to put themselves in the shoes of our arch rivals. And so we did again this year, and Kyle lost the luck of the draw and had to be the Bears, or maybe I did with the Vikings.
I don't know. Sure, it's hard to say, yeah.
So Kyle's the GM of the Bears, and he is going to very aggressively move up to pick 9. The Bears ended up trading number 20 overall, a 2022 first, a 2022 third, and defensive lineman Akeem Hicks. So a very heavy price to pay to move up to number 9, but that's a very realistic trade. And with the 9th overall pick, the Chicago Bears are going to take quarterback Mac Jones from Alabama.
Let's go!
Which marks our 3rd straight Alabama player off the board. But Kyle, you are going to get fired.
I know!
Your job is on the line as the Bears general manager, and you're trading up for the 5th quarterback in the draft. In all seriousness, though, like here's a couple ways this could work. Maybe you get some extra leeway from ownership by having a rookie quarterback. So if Mac Jones shows any promise at all, maybe they keep you around one more year. And maybe Jones is really good at getting the ball out of his hands quickly. That's not maybe. He definitely is good at getting the ball out of his hands quickly. But maybe the Bears establish the run, and Jones plays the Trubisky role better than Mitch ever did, and the offense is just solid enough to let the defense carry them, and they move up from a 500 team to maybe like just good enough to get that 6th or 7th seed again, and ownership likes that. Overall, to me, this is a pretty questionable move, but it actually could be a pretty realistic scenario for Chicago based on how they've been making moves lately.
Okay, so to defend myself here, I made this move. I was not the initiator of the trade. Someone came to me with this Broncos pick and said, hey, what would you think about you know, coming up. And as the Bears, I kind of put myself in their shoes. And there are five first-round quarterbacks in this draft. I do think that there's a drop-off after the first four, but we're dealing with the Chicago Bears here, okay? The scenario at hand is that they have moved forward by adding, one, Andy Dalton to be their presumed starter in 2021. They do not think, I hope they don't think, I hope they're not this dumb, they don't think that Andy Dalton is the starter for longer than 2021. They have no foreseeable plan at the quarterback position. They have looked horrific throughout this offseason with all of their decision making. And so, to me, I think that this is a manipulative move for the Bears that I have made, in that if they can convince the ownership to let them make a quarterback pick, that, like, hey, we got it wrong with Mitch, things have gone off the rails, but you give us this one more pick, and, you know, Mac Jones, he's an Alabama product, he's this guy, he's the next Tom Brady. Like, if you can convince ownership that we've got our guy, and they come up and make this pick, I really do think that it's something that they could say, hey, give us two or three more years. I think it's the only way that they have a job 2 or 3 years from now, because if they don't pick a quarterback, if they pick another wide receiver, if they pick a defensive player, does ownership look at them and say, like, what is going to be different next offseason in 2022 that's not happening now? And so for me, it was an opportunity to say, okay, it's my chance to save my job by making an incredibly stupid decision, but may keep me in my chair for the next 2 or 3 seasons. So that's my shot. I took it, and I think it's really dumb, but it's the Chicago Bears, so that's what I went with.
The Chicago media is going to eat you alive. I can just picture a friend of the podcast, Aldo Gandia, screaming until he's hoarse on Bears Barroom.
I can see that, too. I can see that, too. That's good. I had some fun with it.
All right, you're on pick 10.
I am up again. So this is the Washington football team's pick here. And you're like, wait, this is supposed to be the Dallas Cowboys pick. And you're right. Sam Holman made a move here, trading up from 19 to 10. They gave up 19. They gave up their second round pick, as well as defensive lineman Jonathan Allen. I feel like we should at these players and be like, hey, just so you know, you got moved here. But they did.
Your
they came up
GM
to 10.
Doesn't value you.
Right. Sorry about that. But yeah, they come up to 10 and they picked tight end Kyle Pitts there with the Washington football team. And so this one is interesting in a couple ways, right? Because Dallas needed some defensive help. And so the value just wasn't there, at least like early in this draft on defense, it seems. I think it's supposed to be, you know, more of this offensive draft early. And so I like that they traded out here. I think that was a good move. But I also love this decision by Washington to go ahead and get a little aggressive and finish building out the offense. They added Curtis Samuel last week, and now they add the best tight end prospect that we've seen probably in years. And this offense gets pretty scary in a hurry. And so Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in has got to be pretty excited about the arsenal weapons that he'll have at his disposal there in Washington. So like the move, a lot of fun here with Washington coming up with the Cowboys to number 10.
Yeah, McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Kyle Pitts, that is a scary offense. And then you add in Antonio Gibson too. What I don't like is trading a really, really good young defensive lineman in Jonathan Allen to a division rival, but
that's fair.
Yeah, to move up and get Pitts, that's fun. So at number 11, another NFC East team, the New York Football Giants, and this is going to be at Zach Crowder. He's going to go ahead and take edge Quiddy Pay from Michigan. The Giants have had an impressive offseason, but their defense needs pass rushers pretty badly. There's not a better one in the draft than Quiddy Pay. Gettleman loves big guys who can defend the run, and Pay is both of those things. But he's got some juice to be looked at as a potential pass rush beast in the future, which, ironically, he goes – oh, no, I'm sorry. He goes at 11. Rashawn Gary went at 12. I don't know why I wrote that.
Come on.
I made a note of it, and then I realized that's not true. But anyways, really close. Kudos to Zach, who didn't even know the Giants were going to sign Adoree Jackson, and cornerback certainly would have been a big need here previous to that move. So that defense could be pretty darn good.
Yeah, you're right. And moving right along here to, I guess now the Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock because of that trade they made with the 49ers, the swap of 12 and 5. And Greg Vanderstine is the GM here, and he selects cornerback Patrick Surtain, the second of Alabama. Of course, we saw the Bengals trade out of that pick earlier, which allowed the 49ers to get that quarterback. And right here, the Bengals select a corner, which does make a whole lot of sense for them. It doesn't make sense to do it at 5, so if you're going to take a corner, it makes a ton of sense to do it at 12. The problem that I have here is that they ignore the offensive line. I'll talk about that in a second. But with William Jackson signing in free agency with the Washington football team, I can see this fit. It's a need that they have. But, man, Joe Burrow has got to be allowed to be physically alive. And so it's hard for me to see the Bengals passing on tackle, especially in this class with so much that's available. So, Greg, man, what are you doing? No, I'm just kidding. I like the pick. They needed a corner. But, man, it is hard for me to imagine Joe Burrow just sitting, seeing all these tackles that you could really argue, picks 1 through 20, there's 4 or 5 that could be just cornerstone players for your franchise and not getting one. But William Jackson here at 12 overall fills that spot left by William Jackson.
I hope Greg has a good attorney, because Joe Burrow is going to file a lawsuit for creating a hostile work environment.
Sorry, Greg.
No, I mean, this is a fine pick for a cornerback, which is a position in need. Tackle is a deep position group in this draft. And so, maybe the Bengals are thinking they can get offensive linemen a little bit later.
That's
so
true. Yep.
Good value of getting, especially if Surtain's your top corner on the board. I have the Chargers at 13, and this pick was made by at closest to Keg Tony. Got it. And that is going to be tackle, speaking of offensive line, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. The Chargers get the second-best offensive lineman to fall all the way down to number 13. This offensive line goes from a really serious liability to a pretty darn good one in just one offseason. You had Corey Linsley. They made a move at guard. It's a former Steeler, and I'm totally blanking on the name. But then you add Rashawn Slater to that mix, and man, that's fun. Justin Herbert should be smiling at whatever, mall arcade that he's currently at.
Okay. All right.
He looks young. That's the joke.
He does. He does. He looks very young, especially with
the... And kids hang out at mall arcades these days, right?
Thank you for explaining your joke. It's so good. So, okay, 14 overall is supposed to be me, right? I've got evens. But I want to know, Andrew, would you like to tell people why, in this scenario, the Houston Texans are on the clock instead of where the Vikings are supposed to be? Because I really do not want to be the person to break this news right now.
All right, I will do it. So I mentioned before two things. One, I'm the GM of the Vikings. Number two, we had one extra general manager. So that was at JordanHove77, and I told Jordan, my bad, totally screwed this whole thing up, but if you want to be the Texans and try to find a trade partner for maybe a player on your team that could be floated in trade rumors, go ahead and do so. And so when I was coming up at pick 14, I sent Jordan a message and I said, hey, how would you like to make a deal? And I will send you pick number 14, our third round pick at 79, our second third round pick at 91. I will trade the Vikings 2022 first, 2023 first, quarterback Kirk Cousins, and edge Danielle Hunter. Now, that wasn't my initial trade proposal, but he really negotiated hard because he didn't want to give the Vikings all of this, or he didn't want to give up the guy that I got, which was quarterback Deshaun Watson. Now, a lot of stuff has been unveiled since we did this draft, and I don't want to get into that. So I have no idea what's going on with Deshaun Watson in real life. But if you just take the player at face value being a young player, yeah, that is an insane amount to give up in a trade. That's like the biggest trade package since Herschel Walker. But you give up Kirk Cousins, Danielle Hunter, your next three first-round picks, and two-thirds in this draft, and you get your franchise quarterback, I say, go do it.
It is. It was a little bit of a hollow moment in the Slack feed where we were working through this when that popped up and everyone was like, Andrew did what? He gave them what? But Andrew also successfully took the Vikings first round picks away for the next 3 years, which is something I feel like he has dreams about at night. So, I mean, success across the board. Well done with the Vikings, sir. I think you're up again with the
Patriots.
Well,
who did the Texans pick?
Oh, yeah, we have to do that. I guess they still do care about what they get. Sorry. Okay, you're right. Okay, the Texans are now officially on the clock after all that. And they do select cornerback Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. This, again, was before the news about of the health concerns that we've heard with his back surgery and those kinds of things. But we'll see how that slide affects him. But overall here, he stays in the mix here in the middle of the first round in the Texans land, cornerback Caleb Farley.
Yeah, and I love that. For the Texans to get, you know, at least my cornerback one. I know the injury thing probably scares some teams away. But that, you know, when you're talking about rebuilding, you throw Kirk Cousins, who's a very obviously average NFL quarterback, into that mix. Their offense isn't very good. But defensively, you know, you add an edge rusher like Danielle Hunter. They have some young pieces. You would assume they continue to build through the draft. Caleb Farley could be a really, really good cornerback in the future. So that's fun. The Patriots are picking at 15, and this is at Ollie Murray 1. And they're going to go ahead and take linebacker Mike Parsons from Penn State, who I think ran a 4.36 today. 4.39. That is insane. What are they doing at Penn State?
They're short.
Jason Away ran a 4.36 today. Those are two linebackers.
I think they ran a 39-yard dash there.
Wow. Best player available, check. Super athletic, multifaceted linebacker in New England, double check. He fits into that Jamie Collins or, you know, more recently Kyle Van Noy role. And I'm sure Belichick will just turn him into a regular Pro Bowler very, very quickly. So Micah Parsons, New England, like that.
It does seem like a Patriots move to take a player that normally wouldn't be available that just somehow slips into their grasp and becomes a very good player for them. But the Cardinals are up at 16 and they do stay put. Adam A.P. Bay, 22, is here, and he's the GM for them. And they select cornerback J.C. Horn from South Carolina. And J.C. Horn is somebody who just absolutely blew up his pro day. And so I think he's locked into the top 20 conversation at this point with testing like that and rumors that some teams view him even as cornerback one in this class. So the Cardinals get a great value here, and they fill a big need. Patrick Peterson and you know, top cornerback play in general was a staple for this the Cardinal team for years and years. And so with Peterson on his way to Minnesota, Horn gives them what they hope is their CB1 for years to come.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not as high in J.C. Horn as everybody else, but I definitely the Cardinals are going to be looking for that second cornerback to throw opposite Byron Murphy. And that could be a really good fit for them. So the Raiders at number 17, this pick is being made by Keith Keskinen. And they're going to go with offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech. And the Raiders really just basically imploded their offensive line this offseason, and they are looking for help. They might be putting out ads in newspapers to find offensive linemen pretty soon. But Darrisaw is a great fit to help them at offensive tackle right away. He kind of fits in with what Gruden and Mayock have been looking for, and just is a super polished guy, probably ready to start day one.
Yeah, Dolphins at 18. I've got Sam Walker as the GM here. And Sam went with linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. And Koramoah is such an interesting player to project. It's kind of tough. He's that tweener linebacker safety prospect. And there seems to be one of these guys every single year that we just don't know exactly where they will fall, where they will be valued by NFL teams. But if we know anything about this New England-style defense that they run in Miami, it's that they value versatility and multiple roles. And for that reason, I can see this fit with the Dolphins. Dolphins fans want offense. If you are a part of any kind of Twitter conversation with Dolphins fans, they want another receiver and maybe even a running back. But they got that weapon at number 3 in Ja'Marr Chase. And so here they get the defensive piece for the defensive-minded head coach, and I think he'll love that. So Owusu-Koramoah at number 18 to the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's really fun. And the Dolphins would pick right at the top of the second round too. So that is something to keep in mind if they're going running back shopping at some point. So pick 19, we have the Cowboys after that trade down with the Washington football team. And the Cowboys pick is going to be made by Gabriel Mafra. And he's going to go ahead and take cornerback Asante Samuel Jr. From Florida State. It's just a little rich for my blood, especially with Samuel testing the way that we did. But Gabriel didn't know what his pro day numbers were when the pick was made. And the Cowboys need help on defense, period. So if Samuel is the next corner on your board, you run with that. Because basically the Cowboys need help at almost every level of the defense. And, you know, Samuel is going to be a good step towards getting at least one of those positions fixed.
Andrew, you know I love Asante Samuel Jr., and you know that those testing numbers this week broke my heart a little bit. But I agree with you that 19 overall is probably a little rich. That's probably good news for Packers fans who want to see Samuel in Green Bay. It'd be hard for me to see them selecting him at 29 with the testing numbers, but, you know, crazier things have happened, and maybe he slips into that second round, and that's where we see something like that take place. But love the player, and so nice pick there for the Cowboys. The Broncos are up here at 20, and Nick Sawyer is going to do some work as the GM there. And he's selecting cornerback Greg Newsome II from Northwestern here. And the hearts of Packers fans everywhere break a little bit more with the selection, because I think Newsome is a lot of, you know, fans' favorite prospect for the Packers right now. He's a great combo of athleticism and really being a technician. He's well equipped to step into an NFL defense and play pretty well really, really early, which is something you don't always get to say about rookie corners. So the biggest question with Newsome is the injuries, at least for me. It seems like he had some trouble staying healthy, but if he can stay healthy, he should be a starter in the league for a long time. The selection by the Broncos is interesting because they did just sign Kyle Fuller and they have some other needs on the roster, but it's really hard to argue with the value of cornerback in the league that we're in. And so anytime you get a chance to select a player like Greg Newsome, who's smart, athletic, you go ahead and do that because of what he can bring to your team. So Greg Newsome, number 20 to the Broncos after that Bears trade.
Definitely. And then at 21, the Indianapolis Colts, I had to step in for the Colts GM here, and Indy definitely needs left tackle. So I went with Jalen Mayfield from Michigan, who, if you listen to the show, you know I love. And the rest of their line is fantastic. So maybe a more ready-to-start player is the way to go. You think of somebody who maybe has a little bit more experience than the redshirt sophomore Mayfield, but I have such an affinity for him. And I think if you can get a dancing bear with the upside Mayfield possesses, you just go get him and just tell him to block the guy in front of him, right? Let the rest of the offensive line worry about everybody else, but just say, you're winning this matchup. And if that's all he has to do, he can be really good. And in a few years, you might have one of the best players in this whole class.
Yeah, I love Jalen Mayfield, and he's someone who's all over the map. It feels like there's guys who think he's a top 15 kind of pick, and then he's sliding into the middle of the second round. So really interesting to see where Mayfield goes, and I don't think we have testing numbers on Mayfield yet, so that'll be really interesting to see where we get where he falls in the RAS equation, rather. But 22, the Tennessee Titans. And I've got Don DeQuisto here making the selection for the Titans. And Kadarius Toney is the selection from Florida. And I know there are a lot of Packers fans who would love to see Toney in a Packers uniform. Andrew and I actually picked Toney at 29 in our first mock draft this spring. But it is so hard to gauge where NFL teams are going to value Toney. He could really go this early in the first round, right here in the mid-20s. I also think it's totally possible he could go in the middle of the second round. But I really like the fit here with the Titans. They already have their big X receiver in A.J. Brown, who can line up outside or in the slot. Toney gives you more of that natural Z receiver who can be a guy you can scheme touches to and allow to create after the catch. Tennessee has a big target share to account for. They lost Corey Davis to the Jets. They lost Jonnu Smith to the Pats. And so I think you feel pretty good about the upside of giving someone like Toney those targets and helping your offense.
Yeah, and I think Don was a little nervous about being involved in this, but really did a fantastic job here. And this is the situation that I was thinking about. Imagine you're Tennessee and you're running a jet sweep with Kadarius Toney coming across the backfield, and you can turn that into like a play action. You can turn that into the read option with Henry or the potential for Ryan Tannehill to keep it, or throwing the slant to A.J. Brown. Like, what do you do as a defense?
I mean,
you create a false step with the Toney motion, and Derrick Henry is, you know, suddenly going through the line with an advantage, or, you know, Tannehill's tucking it, or you're hitting A.J. Brown, who then turns what should be a 5-yard gain into a 50-yard gain because he's A.J. Brown. I mean, crazy. That's so fun.
You just made me think of the time that Tannehill kept it, though, and ran for like 40 yards in the middle of the field on the Packers. So I just had some like PTSD there for a second.
Thankfully, the Packers don't need to play them for another 4 years.
That's true.
So.
That's true. That's good.
We are now to the headache pick of the draft, number 23. So here's what happened. This is originally the Jets pick, who traded it to the Saints. So here's a complicated trade. The Jets traded 23, this pick, and Sam Darnold to the Saints for number 28, a fourth round pick, and a 2022 second. I will get into that in a moment, because I have all sorts of issues with that trade. The second time this pick switches hands is from the Saints to the Jaguars. So the Jaguars trade their 25th pick and their fourth rounder to move up two spots to this pick at 23.
Okay.
So, yeah. Oh, man. So for some reason, the Jets are moving down five spots in the draft while also giving up their quarterback, Sam Darnold. And all they got back was a future 2 and a 4. So I'm not sure I love that return for a 23-year-old quarterback who has starting experience in the NFL and a former super high draft pick. But then the Saints flipped that pick. They moved down two spots, get a fourth back. So that's not bad. But basically, they're getting Sam Darnold for a future 2. And then moving up three spots in the first round. So that's some Jedi mind trick stuff, Kyle. somebody's fleecing somebody. But anyways, the Jaguars, who have this pick, and this is our good friend Matt Pickett, they're going to go ahead and take offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker from USC. He is the best interior offensive lineman in this class, unless you call Rashawn Slater interior, which he can probably play all five spots. But from a pure guard standpoint, Elijah Vera Tucker is as good as it gets this year. I love the value, and anything that you can do to protect Trevor Lawrence, that will get my stamp of approval.
Okay. I think I tracked with you through most of that. Thank you for helping us arrive at that conclusion. That was a lot of work, so good work.
I color-coded this, like all the trades. I don't know if you noticed that in the spreadsheet, and I ran out of colors at this point.
It's just a giant mess.
I had to repeat colors.
That's good. I remember at this point in the draft, we're starting to wrap up, right? We're getting down into the 20s, and we're approaching the Packers pick, and so you're getting excited, see what happens. And someone was like, all right, I'm going to give you an hour to send me all the trade requests that you can. And I just sent into the message, I was like, I will give you $1 if you just pick now. Things are getting a little bit drawn out here, but good on the Jags, Saints, and Jets for getting all that sorted out and making a good pick there in Elijah Vera Tucker. But 24, we've got Ahsan Ahaz making the selection here for the Steelers, and he's going with interior offensive lineman Wyatt Davis from Ohio State. I like this pick here. It's a little bit out of the norm for what you see in the first round, but I think very, very possible. Wyatt is the grandson of former Packers great Willie Davis, and the Steelers need some help along that interior offensive line. They lost a guard to the Chargers in free agency. They lost Marquise Pouncey to retirement. So a center would make some sense here, but Davis is a really nice find and someone they can plug in and play at guard right away. So Wyatt Davis to the Steelers.
I said Liam Eichenberg, for the tackle from Notre Dame, is the most Steelers prospect ever, but Wyatt Davis is a close second. Like, yeah, you're right. That's a Steelers guard, man.
It totally is.
So you can argue value all you want, but the Steelers have some holes in their roster, and Wyatt Davis plugs a big one there. At 25, this is the Saints now, because they moved down with the Jaguars, and this is Bryson, who is at WC Cheesehead. He's going to go ahead and give the New Orleans Saints wide receiver Rondale Moore from Purdue. Whoa. So he is electric. I don't know what else to say about Rondale Moore. If he's healthy, he could be a fantastic value. The issue is he really didn't play much after his freshman year at Purdue. The last season, 2020, was just super weird on tape. I'm pretty sure he never caught the ball past the line of scrimmage. But he's super fun. But he's tiny. and he's injury prone. That said, you combine him, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, and then the mind of Sean Payton, that's going to recreate some, you know, old Nebraska wishbone backfield situations. Everybody is going to run a sub 4.4, and they're just going to be running guys all over the place. So that could have the potential to be really fun. But yeah, Rondale Moore, he tested off the charts this week too.
Yeah, he absolutely did. I think his RAS right now is sitting at 9.39. So
the thing about that is, and this is something I often have to wrap my head around, he's that high of a RAS having his height deficiency.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like if he's 6 foot, he's a 10.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. If he cracks 5'9", like he probably, yeah. It's just unbelievable. So, just the explosiveness is unbelievable. He saw his jumps, just a really, really special athlete. Hope that he stays healthy. That's been his biggest knock throughout his college career, but what a special player. Number 26, the Cleveland Browns are on the clock, and we've got Mark Musgrave making a pick here, and we've got Edge, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia here. Ojulari just had his pro day last week and put up some really nice numbers. He ran a 4.6 at 250 pounds, super explosive in the broad jump and measured with vines for arms. That was maybe the most impressive thing of all the weird things that they measure, but really long arms. Someone's going to fall in love with Ojulari here in the first round, and here it's the Browns. And the Browns did add Tack McKinley to a one-year deal in the offseason here, but Ojulari has a chance to be the long-term running mate to Myles Garrett. And so with his addition, I think the Browns defense is starting to look pretty good with all they've done throughout the offseason.
Yeah, and there's some rumors that Cleveland is sniffing around Jadeveon Clowney now as well. But I think Ojulari makes all the sense in the world. And hey, even if you don't play him at edge full time, I think he can play a little bit of off ball well. And so that's a really nice pick for the Cleveland Browns. And then I'm going to move to the former Cleveland Browns, that being the Baltimore Ravens. And this is going to be at @Daryl_Kirby18. And he's going to take wide receiver Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota, which I love. Like, I love, love, love this pick. He is the perfect fit for Baltimore. Gives the Ravens a fun weapon to play opposite Hollywood Brown. Is this their biggest need? Probably not, but it is a need. And Bateman seems like a guy who can be a really impactful pro player.
We haven't seen the Ravens make that big signing at wide receiver yet in the offseason. I think a lot of their fans are expecting that. And so this is the pick. I don't know that the Packers will see wide receiver as their top need, but I think that 27, the Ravens, is the team that they'd have to jump if Rashad Bateman were to fall this far in the draft. And so you'd be looking at something like 25, 26 if the Packers were trying to get up for someone like Rashad Bateman, which I could totally get on board with. I love Bateman. But Jets are up here via the Saints and the mess that we discussed earlier. So Joseph Lights is on the clock again here. And linebacker Zaven Collins from Tulsa is too much to pass up here. So we'll see how he tests, but I think Collins has an outside chance to be a player that Green Bay would even consider in the end of the first round. I know that that's a little bit outside their tendencies to go linebacker, but Collins could be special. And in this class, the Jets jump at the chance to get him, and you'd have to think that Coach Robert Saleh would be pretty pumped to get a talented player and an infusion at linebacker after having such an incredible group out there in San Francisco. So Joseph Lights makes the pick here with Zaven Collins to the Jets.
Yeah, and I gave Joseph a bit of a hard time about the Sam Darnold trade, but in all seriousness, if the Jets walk out of the draft with Justin Fields and Zaven Collins, that's solid. Pretty exciting. Like that's taking advantage of your two picks. Plus, they're gonna, you know, then flip around and pick at the top of the second as well. So now we're to the pick that everybody's been waiting for, pick 29. And if there was one moment that made everybody in our Twitter message very angry, it was this one. I mean, my Vikings one. I definitely made everybody angrier than this pick did.
Yeah.
But no drum roll, please. We don't want to build suspense.
Okay.
So the Packers trade down. And People were furious. And please do not turn off the podcast right now. I promise we have a fun Packers thing at the end for you. But the GM for the Packers got a deal that he just couldn't pass up, and that was to trade with the Bengals, who are picking at number 38 in the second round. So the Bengals gave up their second round pick and their third round pick at 69 just for 29. So the Packers moved down 9 spots and pick up an extra top 70 pick. That's great value. I know this is rough for a Packers podcast mock draft, and this would be a nightmare scenario for you and I on draft night.
That's true.
We talked about that last year too. Yeah. Please don't trade up. But the Bengals need to do absolutely they can. They need to do absolutely everything they can to improve this offensive line. We talked about that earlier. So Greg Vandersteen, their GM, is going to take offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. And I'm not the biggest Tevin Jenkins fan, but he is definitely physical. He's tough. He's going to, like, knock your boots off. And that should be able to develop into a really good NFL tackle. And that, to me, is worth moving up for.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, it is interesting that we don't have a pick there for the Packers. But I respect the discipline of the Packers GM in taking what is a very good deal here for the Green Bay Packers. So moving on to number 30, we'll get back to the Packers, like Andrew said, in just a second. But the Bills are up, and I've got Mike Arvo on the clock, and he is here with those Bills, selecting defensive lineman Christian Barmore from Alabama. And Barmore is the definition of a risky pick, I think, right? He's got crazy, crazy good flashes, but you're betting on a big time bit of development and consistency. And so I like the addition here for the Bills. They get another piece on defense. We know the offense just kind of rolls there. They were so good last year. But if they can become a little bit more dominant along the defensive line, it would be hard for opposing teams to keep up with their high-octane offense. So I like the add, Christian Barmore to the Bills.
Yeah, and you get Barmore clicking alongside of Ed Oliver, and right, you get right. Trey Edmonds playing back up to his Tremaine Edmonds playing back up to his potential, and man, suddenly the Bills defense has a chance to revert to 2019 for him. The Chiefs are at 31, and this is Sam, who is at LLSS 1985. He's going to go ahead and take cornerback Ifeatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. This is Kyle's dude.
It's my dude.
The Chiefs definitely need help on their offensive line, but they also have some holes on defense. And a pretty significant one is finding a corner opposite of rookie sensation L'Jarius Sneed. And Melifonwu is going to be really fun for a team that's going to use him in the right scheme.
All right, we're getting to the end here. 32, the Bucks are up, and Asan Ahaz is back, and he's the GM for those Bucks, and he selects edge Gregory Rousseau from Miami. Rousseau has traits upon traits upon traits, and the key is going to be patience and development with him as well. And the Bucks roster is in good enough shape that they can kind of take that kind of swing on a big ball of clay in Rousseau, and someone that you hope develops into a really, really impact player for you for a long time. So super young player, lots of upside, and they can hope he's the heir apparent to JPP in a couple seasons too. So like Rousseau to the Bucks here at 32.
So that should be the end of the draft, but it's not. Our Packers GM in this situation was Jake Engel, who's at Jake Engel 1265. And Jake had done the responsible thing, I think, in taking that trade down. That's going to be really beneficial for the Packers. So what I wanted to do after the draft is over was sim out those first five, I think I'm doing my math correctly, maybe six picks of the second round, and see who would be available. So I sent Jake a list of the picks in the second round. Kyle's giving me the five signal, so I did do my math correctly. I just wanted to see who would be available. So I sent Jake a list of Packers or prospects that were still available in the draft and said, pick one. And so the Packers are on the clock at pick 38, and Jake selects safety Trevon Morrig from TCU. And here's his justification. Originally at 29, I really wanted either Mayfield out of Michigan or Newsome Horn Samuel at cornerback. with all of those options gone, I thought I could trade down, get an extra top 100 pick while also still having a chance to get a quality player at 38. From watching Joe Barry's mini rant on the quote star position, I think they take a safety mortgage in this situation. Plus, with three more picks in the top 100, they can still get a good offensive lineman, wide receiver, cornerback, etc. So, yeah, I really like that. What do you think, Kyle?
I like it. It's really fun. I was a little bit bummed because I really did like Trayvon Moehrig here, and he does have a 7.41 RAS right now, which is a little bit low for the Packers. So that kind of bummed me out because I thought maybe he'd be that sleeper pick at the end of the first. So I feel like it's a little bit low, but it's not far off. It's just it would kind of buck their trends as of recent. But really fun player, very versatile player, rangy. You can play him up high. You can play him. He can drop down in the slot and give you some coverage. I really like that he was voted a special teams MVP his freshman season at TCU. So just contributes any place that he gets a chance. Overall, really, really good instinctive player. So lots to like. I think that this is a sneaky, sneaky pick for the Green Bay Packers that could actually happen.
Yeah, and I have more rated as my number two safety in the draft. And really, the strengths of his, I think he can play center field, one. You know, the RAS score is concerning in some at some level, but I also think that he has shown enough on tape to make me trust that he can play that true center fielder role, and then he can also drop down in the slot. So I think he's, you know, versatile if his athleticism doesn't totally show up when he's in track shoes.
One little element that the Packers will have to weigh is that Moehrig said that he actually had some back spasms that week leading up to the pro day. And so he said, I probably was at 80 to 85%, still wanted to compete. It was going to be my one opportunity to do so. Felt like I could, but he's like, I know I left a little out there. So I think he ran like a 4.51 off the top of my head. So if the Packers compensate for that at all, you never know if they will, but that would get them pretty close to an 8 RAS into their like kind of range. So it'll be interesting, something to kind of put an asterisk next to say like, okay, he's a little low on the, you know, the athletic score, but it may be something that they are willing to kind of to fudge a little bit if they like the player.
And this is fun for a couple of reasons, because number one, hashtag Packers Twitter would be set ablaze if they trade down and people have to wait an extra day to find out who their first pick is. And then number two, if they announce him as a safety.
Yes.
People are going to go nuts. Right.
Yes. Like, we already have safety days.
Yeah. Not realizing how versatile a player is. But I really like that. Good job, Jake. Colossal thank you to everybody who is involved in this. Even if we were joking around a little bit, man, it is fun to see the passion, and I think like the creativity and insight that everybody has, and it was just another awesome experience.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And like you said, thanks so much for participating to everyone who did. And it is. This is a fan effort. We are fans first and love to do this podcast. So it's fun to participate with so many of you who share in your love for the Packers, but also just to see you nerd out a little bit about the draft and those kinds of things, even when we're getting into some ridiculous trade offers and all kinds of fun. So thanks for doing it. We really appreciate it. It's fun to have you guys a part of the process. But before we close up the show today, Andrew is doing a lot of good work over at Game On Wisconsin. And so I want to give him the floor here to let you know what you can be watching for from his account this week as it pertains to Game On Wisconsin.
Well, I asked you a question last week, so I'm going to follow that up with another question.
Oh, no. I hate it when you do this.
Kyle. What would you call the dirt and sand edges between a lake called T and a lake called V?
Well, the letter U is between those two letters, but I you're going to have to tell me, man. I have no idea.
Yeah, you got the first part of that. So they would be called U Banks, right?
Banks.
Maybe I should have said river instead of lake. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, my prospect profile for this week is tight end Nick Eubanks from Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where in the world, Andrew? Tell me. Can you give us a hint? Where in the world is Nick Eubanks going to get drafted? Are we talking like?
I think he is like a fifth, sixth round pick.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yes. He's super athletic, but like. He has some real deficiencies in the blocking game. Like, he needs to really commit to that. He's going to have to add on some strength. And I think if you're going to draft a developmental tight end, you probably don't do that before day three.
Yeah.
But he could be fun. Like, I think he'd be a big wide receiver early in his career.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you want him to play tight end, he's going to have to learn some things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Check out the profile there on Nick Eubanks from Andrew. It is going to be really interesting because we have maybe the best prospect at tight end we've seen in years and years, and then such a strange tight end class thereafter. So check out Nick Eubanks and see if it's somebody the Packers could maybe nab later in the draft.
Absolutely. But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Packaday Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter @Packer_pundit. And you can find me @AndrewMertig. Remember to also follow @PackadayPodcast. Please subscribe and rate the podcast if you like what we're doing. You can get Kyle and myself every single Friday. We're going to be back next week with more offseason coverage. And we are going to have a super special secret co-host joining us for the entire month of April leading up to the draft.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening, and as always, remember.
Go, hey, go!